ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
हरे कृष्ण। टुडे मॉर्निंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 3 चैप्टर एंटाइटेड यमराज इंस्ट्रक्ट्स हिज मैसेंजर्स टेक्स्ट नंबर 28।
तानान्यद्वम असतो विमुखान मुकुंद पादारविंद मकरंदर सादजस्रम निष्किंचने परमहंस कुलेर संगे जुष्टाद् गृहे निरय वर्त्मनि बद्ध तृष्णान।
ट्रांसलेशन। Paramahamsas are exalted persons who have no taste for material enjoyment and who drink the honey of the Lord's lotus feet. My dear servants, bring to me for punishment only persons who are averse to the taste of that honey, who do not associate with Paramahamsas and who are attached to family life and worldly enjoyment, which form the path of hell. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. After warning the Yamdutas not to approach the devotees, Yamraj now indicates who is to be brought before him. He specifically advises the Yamdutas to bring him the materialistic persons who are attached to household life merely for sex. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Yan Maithunadi Grahamedi Sukham Ituchham. People are attached to household life for sex only. They are always harassed in many ways by their material engagements, and their only happiness is that after working very hard all day, at night they sleep and indulge in sex. Nidraya riyate naktam vivaye nachavavaya. At night, materialistic householders sleep or indulge in sex life. Divacharte haya rajan kutumba barane nava. During the day, they are busy trying to find out where money is. And if they get money, they spend it to maintain their families. Yamraj specifically advises his servants to bring these persons to him for punishment and not to bring the devotees who always lick the honey at the lotus feet of the Lord, who are equal to everyone and who try to preach Krishna consciousness because of sympathy for all living beings. Devotees are not liable to punishment by Yamraj, but persons who have no information of Krishna consciousness cannot be protected by their material life of so-called family enjoyment. Srimad Bhagavatam says, second canto, first chapter, text number 4, Deyapatya kalatradishu atmasenyeshu asatsapi tesham pramatta nidanam pashyan api na pashyati. Such persons complacently believe that the nations, communities or families can protect them, unaware that all such fallible soldiers will be destroyed in due course of time. In conclusion, one should try to associate with persons who engage in devotional service 24 hours a day. His Grace Yadubhar Prabhu was once sharing his realization in Krishna consciousness. And he was telling us that he saw many Christian preachers, many preachers of different religious faith, give interviews in talk shows, television talk shows. And when they would be asked this question, why we should worship God? Why do you worship God? Almost all the preachers would say, because if you worship God, you get what you want. You get peace. You get happiness. We worship God because you can be rich. So many things they would say. But his observation was, whenever Srila Prabhupada would be asked why we should worship Krishna, Prabhupada would say, because we want to love Krishna and we want to serve Krishna. So this is the difference between pure devotional service and other paths where worship of God is for material enjoyment. That's why Kaviraj Goswami says, Premadana bina vyartha daridra jivan dasa karo vetan more deha premadhan. Without this wealth of love for Krishna, premadana bina vyartha daridra jivan, our life is vyartha, it is a waste. And therefore he is saying that my life is a waste if I don't have love for Krishna. Therefore I am your servant Krishna, but I am not an ordinary servant. I will take salary. Don't think I will not take salary. But what is my salary? Dasa karo vetan more deha premadhan. My vetan is give me premadhan. Give me wealth of love for you. So this is the wealth that a devotee aspires to get. That is love for Krishna. And we see in today's purport, Srila Prabhupada is writing, he's smashing sense gratification, a life centered around sex life, and recommends that we should actually have shelter of Krishna and develop love for Krishna. And especially is focusing on developing attraction for Krishna's lotus feet. So today we'll try to briefly understand three things on the basis of what Srila Prabhupada has written in today's purport. First is, what exactly is the problem in today's world? Second, we'll try to see the solution for this problem. And third, we'll also try to see how to practically apply this solution. Because the solution might seem a little far-fetched. So how to practically use this solution? So this episode which we are reading is a section where Yamaraj is now taking his servants to higher and higher understanding of absolute truth. He tells them, don't get innocent devotees to hell. Though if you take shelter of Krishna, don't get them here. Because they chant names of Krishna, they are worshipping Vishnu. And most importantly, they have taken shelter of Krishna's lotus feet and they are Paramahamsas. And in the purport, Prabhupada explains the problem in today's world. What is the problem? Blind, mad pursuits for sense gratification. Or sex life, as Prabhupada is writing here. For this blind attraction for this kind of lifestyle is considered to be the problem. Prabhupada is quoting this verse here. Deya patya kalatradishu atma senyeshu asatsapi tesham pramatta nidhanam pashyan api na pashyati. Why is this a problem? Sense gratification? Because a householder who is not worshipping Krishna, a Graha Medhi, Deya Patya is attached to his body, his wife, his children and all other paraphernalia. And worst part is, he thinks, Atma Senyeshu Asatsapi. He thinks this is my Sena, Atma Sena. And with this army, I will solve all problems of life. He doesn't realize that this Atma Sena is Atma Senyeshu Asatsapi. It is Asat. It is temporary. And because he doesn't realize this, what happens? Tesham pramatta nidhanam. Pramatta, he becomes obsessed with sense gratification. He becomes mad. Pramatta. And therefore he can't see what? Nidhanam. He can't see his destruction. Pashyan api na pashyati. It's not that he doesn't see. Pashyan, he sees. But he doesn't see. Pashyan api na pashyati. Srila Prabhupada one time was sitting with his disciple, servant, Arishori Prabhu. And he told him, I am getting disturbed by this nest. There is a nest of a sparrow here in the room. And they keep making trouble all night. Remove this nest. Arishori Prabhu went, carefully removed that nest, all the grass and all the other straws that were kept. He removed that. And the sparrow came and she saw the nest is gone. She went back, came with her husband and they had some meeting. They were talking. What happened? Where this went? They said, we'll not give up. We'll fight. They went. Again they bought straws, grasses. They were making nest. After some time, Prabhupada looked at it. Prabhupada said, again they'll cause trouble. Remove this nest. Again Harishwari Prabhu removed. Again they came. Again they saw nest is not there. But they didn't give up. They went back. Again they made a nest. This went on for many days. Harishwari Prabhu would be standing and he would be removing it and they would come and make it. After many days, finally the sparrow gave up. they realize that, oof, we can't make a next year. And after the episode ended, Srila Prabhupada turned to Harishwari Prabhu and said, this is the condition of a materialistic person who is attached to sense gratification. Just like the sparrow, he doesn't realize that material energy is supervising all your efforts. And a man is unable to see this. And yet, we are always hoping to improve our life. And we are trying to get a secure place in material world. Not understanding that Maya is watching, waiting, and defeating all our purposes. So similarly, we should understand that all our efforts for peace and happiness, which is not based on understanding the principle of Krishna consciousness, is going to be wasted. Because Maya is like that Harishwari Prabhu standing with that broom. She is going to undermine all our achievements. Still, we are attached to life of sense gratification. And we have so many examples in our day-to-day life. But whenever we tell people, Tesham pramatta nidanam, don't be obsessed. There is going to be destruction. Pashyan apina pashyati. See this. What people say, shh, don't talk of death. Don't be pessimistic. Don't talk of death. We know death will come one day. Marna to ek din sabko hai. People always give this kind of wise philosophical talk. But actually, people might say this, that death will come one day. But actually, nobody knows. It's a farce. Because if actually people knew that death is going to come, then they will not act in such a way that shows that they believe that death won't come. Like for example, we all heard that recently Israel attacked Lebanon. Now we know this. This is simply information. It makes no difference to us, Israel attacking Lebanon. But if we hear that our neighboring country is attacking us, that knowledge will be different. We will immediately make some plans. We will work on the basis of that knowledge. So when we have information on the basis of which we don't act, that is not knowledge. Similarly, people saying death will come, but they are thinking death is like, oh, it will happen to somebody. If we actually knew that death is going to come, then we will not act. We will not act in such a complacent way. We will do something about it. Therefore, Sukadeva Goswami is saying in the second canto verse, which Prabhupada is quoting in today's purport, this is how Sukadeva Goswami begins his Bhagavatam class. By saying how a person should not be attached to a life of sense gratification. So therefore, people might claim, they might discourage all of us devotees who are going out to preach, that we know about death. Actually, we should know. Unfortunately, they do not know. And in that purport, in the second canto, Prabhupada writes there, that one should examine the fact that his father is dead. If not his father, his father's father is dead. And one day he will also die. And similarly, his children, who will be the father of their children, they will also die one day. Nobody will survive this struggle against material nature. Very emphatically, Prabhupada says that we will not survive. One devotee was saying, when he was young, in his classroom, the teacher was telling all the students, you should buy the class album. Because after 25 years, you will sit at home and you will see. This was an elderly lady teacher. She was about to retire. In her class, she said this, that you should all buy this album. Then you will see this. You will say, hey, look at this, Rajesh. Today is a doctor. Then you might say, oh, look at Mahesh. You know, he is a professor. We'll look at all boys and girls and you will think what they must be doing. And it seems one boy commented from behind. He said, and we'll also say, look at that old madam there. She is dead and gone. So the point is, the point this devotee was making was, that we always think about the brighter side of life. We never see how death is going to come. Tesham pramatta nidanam. Because pashyan api na pashyati. We don't see. We see, but we don't see. We don't see through the eyes of scriptures. Somebody might say, what is the proof that all this is going to happen? Life is miserable. Well, history. What is history? History is simply a list of names of dead people. And we have so many people, great, great leaders, they're all dead and gone. But people are still foolish and hoping that they will not die. Dr. Gerald Sussman, who is the director at MIT, one of the most prestigious universities in the world, he recently made a very famous statement for which he was being ridiculed. He said, ladies and gentlemen, I am sorry to announce that we are the last generation to die. Medical advancement is so good that from next generation onwards, people will not die. What a foolish statement. Right since the time of Hiranyakashipu, people are trying not to die. But can we avoid death? No, this is a classic example of Pashyan Api Na Pashyati, which Prabhupada is quoting here. And actually in this verse, also Sukhdev Goswami gives a very systematic explanation in the second canto about what happens when this mad rush is there for sense gratification. What happens when that happens? He explains, Nidraya Riyate Naktam Vavaye Nachavavaya Divacharte Hayarajan Kutumbha Bharane Nava. When a person is obsessed with the desire for sense gratification, how does he spend his night? Nidraya Riyate Naktam, he sleeps in the night time. Or Vavaye Nachavavaya, or he engages in sex life. And what do we do in the daytime? Diva charte hayarajan is earning money. For what? Kutumbha bharane nava. Simply for satisfying the needs of his family, not realizing that his service for his family will be to make them Krishna conscious, to give them the gift of Krishna consciousness. I remember once I was going in the local train for a program in Borivali. One 75-80-year-old man, he was fighting with another man. And he was telling, don't you realize, don't you know, I have been traveling in this local train for the last 55 years. And he was so proud of it. And he was boasting about it. I'm traveling every day morning, 9 to 6, I'm working and I'm traveling. This is my great achievement. He was boasting about his qualification. But the devotee with me, he was saying, what a tragedy. He's traveling last 55 years in the local train and still, he's not realizing the goal of life. Nidraya Riyate Naktam. Just working hard, but not spending time for spiritual life. Recently, there was a news about one boy in Orissa, one six-year-old boy, Buddhesh Singh. He ran 60 kilometers and he's been called as a prodigy. Everybody is worshipping him, glorifying him. He's supposed to be the future of the country. He's a great athlete. But actually, everybody is like this boy. Everybody is running. Running. 60. This boy is running 60 kilometers. People are running 60 years of life. They're running. But sir, where are you running? What do you want in life? No, I have no time to answer this question, but I'm running. So the scriptures, Sukhdev Goswami is telling us, pause, stop, think. Why you are doing what you are doing? So life is not meant simply for sense gratification. And India today is becoming worse than the West because we are obsessed with this. Diva charte haya rajan and nidraya riyate natta. Like in Bombay, one software company has now started giving, like they used to give allowance, you know, medical allowance or leave allowance. But Indian companies, software companies are going one step ahead of American companies. They are now giving dating allowance, that you can take money and take a girlfriend out and enjoy in the night. So this is a classic example of how this lifestyle is being encouraged by the modern society, by the media. Therefore, in that purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that nobody is realizing that a great ocean of material nature is coming and the waves of this ocean are the waves of time. And we are all like foaming bubbles who will be finished off. Still, we are searching for permanent place in this world. We are thinking, somehow I'll be happy. And we have no time for Krishna consciousness. Shankaracharya said what? That famous verse. Balastavat krida sakta. Tarunastavat taruni sakta. Vriddastavat chinta sakta. Pare brahma kopina sakta. Balastavat, childhood, what is the person attached to? Krida, playing. Balastavat krida sakta. Tarunastavat, youth is attracted to taruni. A girl is attracted to a boy. Vriddastavat, what is attached to? Chinta. Pare brahma kopina sakta. When will you think of Krishna? Actually, Shankaracharya wrote this 1500 years back. But today, if Shankaracharya was present, he would have changed this verse. Today, children are not attached to simply sports. Balastavat, krida sakta, taruni sakta, chinta sakta. Same thing with Taruna. A boy is not attracted simply to girl. He is attracted to sports, he is attracted to women, he is also having tension, chinta. Same thing with an old man. You see, children, the Guinness Book of World Records says a 9-year-old boy is the youngest father. So that means the trend is now young children will be exposed to this kind of bombardment. What do you expect? Balastavat krida sakta taruni sakta. They are attached to girls. So many stories are there of, like in Colorado State University, two young boys went to the school and killed their teachers, 9-year-old boy and 11-year-old boy, because their girlfriends had ditched them. So they went around shooting teachers. Balastavat krida sakta taruni sakta chinta. I think, I don't know if it was Premnidhi Prabhu, one devotee was telling me that in one school program, one child told the devotee that, you know, tomorrow we have a special class. This is a 7th standard student is telling our devotee that tomorrow we have stress management class. So you can imagine, 12-year, 13-year-old children have stress management seminars. That means, balastava chinta sakta. And same thing, youth also. Youth are attached to sports. Tarunastavat krida sakta. And vriddhastavat, old people, they are attached to sports. They'll spend hours playing video game. And they'll play those games where a macro he-man comes and kills everyone. Because an old man who's not a devotee, because he can't enjoy, but he'll enjoy through that person on the screen, the image. He'll think he's only shooting so many people. He's killing so many people. And this recently that medicine came up, Viagra, a sexual enhancer medicine, that is mostly sought after by elderly people. That's an age when we should be practicing Vairagya, but people are attracted by Viagra. So this is Nidraya Riyate Naktam, what Sukhdev Goswami is saying. Vava Yena Cha Vavaya, a life centered around sex life and sense gratification. So this is a tragedy of modern times. Therefore, we should understand that life is very transitory. Kamala Dala Jala Jivana Talamala, no point engaging in sense gratification. In that purport, Srila Prabhupada also writes, our biggest problem is not only our friends and relatives are fallible, that they cannot protect us, that is one thing. But the worst thing is, they themselves are bewildered by the illusory energy. So how can they save us? If they were devotees, that's a different thing. But still, we are thinking, oh no, I am happy, I am safe in this orbit. I was hearing one Prabhupada's class. Prabhupada is giving the story of a pigeon. He's saying, so this pigeon came flying and he saw, this is the female pigeon. She saw her children are captured by the hunter in a nest. And she was so attached to her children, she jumped into the nest and she also got trapped. Now she could not save her children, but on the contrary, she got trapped. Then the father pigeon came flying and he saw, oh, my children are trapped. My wife is trapped. Let me go and save them. Then he realized, no, if I go in, I will also be trapped. I can't save them. What should I do now? What do you think the male pigeon did? The father pigeon did? Prabhupada says, father pigeon, he took sannyas. He flew away. And all the devotees in the class laughed. The Prabhupada is making the point that you cannot save anyone. Life is so transitory. This Atma Sena cannot save us. And we might make so many arrangements to escape death, but death is inevitable. During that 1991 Kuwait war, I remember one person in our locality, neighborhood, he called up around 7-8 times from Kuwait, saying that he is surviving bomb blasts, the Iraq-Kuwait war. He would call up and say, I just survived the bomb blast. I'm desperate to come back to Bombay. And somehow he came. He had very many close shifts. And he came to Bombay. And after a few days in Bombay, he went to the Kuwait embassy for some legal proceedings. And on the way, his scooter slipped. And he fell on the ground. And he broke his head and he died. So he escaped death so many times. But then when he had to die, he died at his own courtyard, his own backyard of his house. So the point is, we might make a lot of plans, but we cannot escape death. And that purport, Prabhupada concludes with a very beautiful statement. Srila Prabhupada writes there that everyone is a dead body. But the difference is some dead bodies are flapping for a few seconds. Like if you take a fish out of water, when a fish is out of water, fish is actually dead. But we might see the fish is flapping. We might think he's hyperactive. He's actually not active. He's dead. But he's flapping for a few seconds. Similarly, we might see civilizations are being made. People are doing so many things. Cultures, technology, education. So many things are happening. So the razzle dazzle of this modern world is amazing. But we are all simply flapping for a few seconds. Because death can come at any time and finish off all our business. Srila Prabhupada would give the example of Mr. Ashutosh Mukherjee, whose statue would be in Calcutta. As a young boy, Prabhupada would see Ashutosh Mukherjee's statue. Whole year, the birds would come and pass stool on that statue. Pigeons would come. And once a year, the municipality people would come in a car. They would get down. From morning to evening, they would put water and they would clean with broom and cloth that statue. And in the evening, all the mantris would come and they would put garland on that statue. And they would praise this man and they would go back. Again, the whole year, the statue would be polluted. And now we don't even know who this Ashutosh Mukherjee is. And some years from now, they'll remove that statue. They'll put somebody else's statue, some modern day politician statue, who will again be lost after a few years. So we have an obsession with the present, but we don't realize that our life is insignificant. So therefore, this is a problem, a very serious problem, that we are obsessed with the blind desire for sense gratification, not realizing the effect of time, and we have faith in Atma Sena, our fallible soldiers. So now the question arises, what is the solution to this problem? And Shukadeva Goswami gives the solution in the next verse of this same second canto chapter. Tasmad Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishvaro Hari Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavya Chetatabhyam. Oh my dear Parishit Maharaj, Bhagavan Ishvaro Hari, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we should always engage in three things about Krishna. Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha, just hear about Krishna. Chant Kirtitavyascha Smartavya, remember Krishna. Smartavya Shetata Abhayam. This will give us freedom from all anxiety and fear. Somebody might say, this is a very simplistic solution you are giving. No, just sit and hear, chant. Sukadeva Goswami says in the next verse, why is giving this solution? Because he says, okay, you don't want to practice this, no problem. What you will practice? Etavan Sankhya Yoga Abhyam. You might do some Sankhya Yoga. Or you might do some mystic yoga. Or Swadharma, you might say, no, work is worship, I will work hard. No problem, Swadharma. What will you do? Ultimately, what is your goal? Janma Labha Parah Pumsam. The goal of all our activities ultimately is Ante Narayana Smriti. Janma Labha Parah Pumsam Ante Narayana Smriti. You have to remember Krishna at the time of death. So logically, hearing, chanting and remembering Krishna now, when our senses are active and we are healthy, will be a very good practice to remember Krishna at the time of death. That is why Sukadeva Goswami is systematically emphasizing on the need to remember Krishna, chant Krishna's names now. Because automatically it won't happen at the time of death. And therefore in today's purport, Srila Prabhupada is specifically talking about remembering Krishna. And especially remembering Krishna's lotus feet. And Srila Prabhupada was a perfect example of this consciousness, Krishna consciousness. He was always remembering Krishna. When he was in Los Angeles one time, they went for a walk. And in the park, Prabhupada was sitting with his disciples, they were chanting, and a pleasant breeze started blowing. It was a little chilly, a little cold. Immediately, one devotee bought chadar for Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, no, I don't need chadar. I am feeling the embrace of Krishna. So Prabhupada could relate, he could perceive Krishna's presence at all time. Then because it was cold, the grass, another devotee bought chadar for Prabhupada to sit. And immediately Prabhupada said, no, I don't need chadar. I am sitting on Krishna's lap. So this is an example of somebody who is remembering Krishna always. And Prabhupada had this consciousness. At this point of time, some devotees might ask, okay, the problem we understand. The problem is sense gratification and attachment. And the solution, Prabhupada seems to be saying, is remembering of Krishna. But how do I remember Krishna? Where do I begin from? How do I accept the solution? Sukadeva Goswami gives a step-by-step path how we can remember Krishna always. Ekai kashongani dhyanu bhavayet पादादियावदहसितं गदावृत जितं जितं स्थानमपोयधारयेत् परं परं शुद्यति धीर्यता यथा. सुखदेव गोस्वामी सेस एकैकशोङ्गानि दियानुभावेत्. स्टेप बाय स्टेप यू मेडिटेट ऑन कृष्ण. एकैकशोङ्गानि, फर्स्ट द लोटस फीट. स्टेप बाय स्टेप यू मेडिटेट ऑन कृष्णास डिफरेंट लिम्स ऑफ कृष्णास बॉडी. एकैकशोङ्गानि दियानुभावेत् स्टार्ट फ्रॉम पाद लोटस फीट. पादादियावद् हसितं, देन कम टू कृष्णास स्माइल. पादादियावद् हसितं गदावृत. व्हाट विल हैपन व्हेन वी डू दिस स्टेप बाय स्टेप रिमेंबरिंग कृष्णा फ्रॉम लोटस फीट ऑनवर्ड्स. जितम जितम स्थानम अपोयधारये, स्लोली स्लोली वी विल कॉन्कर अवर जितम जितम स्थानम अपोये, वी विल स्लोली कॉन्कर अवर माइंड. परम परम शुद्यति धीर्यता यथा. परम परम शुद्यति, एज वी कीप गोइंग हायर एंड हायर, एज वी गेट हायर एंड हायर टेस्ट, शुद्यति धीर, अवर इंटेलिजेंस विल बिकम मोर एंड मोर प्यूरिफाइड. So in that purport, Prabhupada says, the first step is offer Tulsi to the lotus feet of Krishna. Begin with that. And then, as we start getting purified gradually, engage in Archana, deity worship. And then we'll one day become qualified to understand Krishna's Rasalila. Somebody might say, okay, I'll begin with this process, but how can I know that my intelligence is getting purified? How do I know that I'm making advancement? There Prabhupada says, we can know that our intelligence is getting purified, we are making advancement, when we see that our desire to engage in sense gratification is gradually reducing. So as that is gradually reducing and we are engaging in deity worship, we can see that we are making advancement. Because we need higher taste. That is the only way we can solve this problem, which we just not discussed. Without higher taste, everything is artificial. Raghupati Prabhu once told us that there was one boy, 3-year-old boy. His mother had a lot of problem. His Mataji's biggest problem was, she would see that our 3-year-old son, 24 hours he would put his thumb in his mouth. Constantly. So she wanted to somehow make him get rid of that habit, but she couldn't do it. So she went to her neighbor. And her neighbor said, I have a very simple idea which I have tried. You can also try that for your son. And it will 100% work. So this neighbor said, what is the technique? So this neighboring Mataji said, simple. My son also had the same problem, putting the thumb in the mouth. So I bought him a cheddi shirt, which was 4 inches loose. So what happened? Then whole day this child would be holding the cheddi only. So automatically his thumb was no longer in his mouth. He would be holding his shorts. So the purport Raghupati Prabhu gave was very interesting. He said, we are all engaged in sense gratification. We can't give it up. Best thing is, it's like sense gratification is compared to putting the hand in the thumb, putting the thumb in the mouth. We can't give it up. Best is have some other engagement by which we are forced to give up sense gratification. So that Prabhupada is saying, just remember Krishna. Engage in deity worship. Do something higher. Somehow take the senses away from there. And that purport, the second kind of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, Prabhupada called Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who writes that we are entrapped by the sex indulgence. Therefore, we need higher taste, and that is studying Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto and second canto, which is compared to the lotus feet of Krishna. So if we take shelter of lotus feet of Krishna, that is the first and second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we might slowly overcome this desire for sense gratification. Of course, we might think that, oh, Krishna's lotus feet are so tiny. Gopinath is having a reddish hue on his lotus feet, so small. No, Brahmaji says it's not small. This lotus feet is actually huge. Samashritaye padapallava plavam mahat padam punya esho murare bhavambudir vatsa padam. This tiny, apparently tiny lotus feet is bigger than the huge ocean of material existence. So if somebody grabs onto these lotus feet, for him the ocean of material existence becomes as big as a puddle of a puddle left by the hoof print of a calf. Small, so small. The ocean of material existence becomes so small. That is the size of Krishna's lotus feet actually. That much shelter Krishna's lotus feet can give. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he writes in one bhajan, Nija karma doshe phale podi bavarna vajale abudubu koe kotha kal, abudubu koe kotha kal. He says, because of my karma, I have been podi bavarna vajra. I have fallen into this ocean. And what is happening? Abudubu, I am just going up and down in the waves. Koe kotha kal, as time is passing, I am being floating in this ocean. And I'm trying to swim. So foolish I am. I'm trying to swim in this ocean, thinking that I will cross.
Satari satari jai, sindhu antha nai pai, bhava sindhu ananta vishal, bhava sindhu ananta vishal.
He says that I'm trying to swim hard, but what is happening? This Bhava Sindhu, there is no end to this. It is so vishal, it is so huge. Sindhu anta nahi pai. So we are trapped in this ocean, we are trying to swim across this ocean of material existence, we are being hit by the waves, we are going up and down. There is no hope, there is nothing we can do. All material adjustments will fail. Therefore, we need shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, which will help us cross this ocean. There was one devotee, Rishi Kumar Das, Prabhupada's disciple. He left, he abandoned his sannyas vows. He fell down from his Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada was very sad. He argued with Prabhupada. He left. And after a few months, in September 1976, when Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, Prabhupada, Rishi Kumar has written a letter. And the news is, he has come back to Krishna consciousness. He is serving in New York temple. And Prabhupada became very pleased. Prabhupada made this statement. He said, yes, Maya can capture for some time, but she cannot hold. Because tektva swadharmam charanam bhujam harer, because a devotee has grabbed Krishna's lotus feet once, bhajan apakvota patet tato yadi. So even if he's failed in devotional service, there is no loss, because he has grabbed Krishna's lotus feet. Whereas if he has not grabbed Krishna's lotus feet and is achieving a lot of things in material life, he has not achieved anything. Narad Muni also tells Vyasadev, Smaran Mukundangri Upaguhanam Punar Vihatu Miche Narasagrahojana. Once if somebody has embraced Krishna's lotus feet, Smaran Mukundangri, somebody has remembered Krishna's lotus feet and has embraced it in the core of his heart, Upaguhanam Punar Vihatu Miche, he will never fall down from devotional service, he will come back. Because Na Rasagrahojana, because he has got higher taste once. And that higher taste will help him come back. This is the potency of Krishna's lotus feet. So when Prabhupada was explaining this to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, then he said, with a deep mood of self-reflection, in a very sober voice, Prabhupada said, I am simply trying to bring all of you to Krishna's lotus feet. And I'm always praying to Krishna that please save them. Please give shelter of your lotus feet. So this is our position, this is our problem, and the solution given is shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. And for devotees who are interested to study more and understand more about this aspect of Krishna's lotus feet, we have this wonderful book which Prabhupada also wrote a few commentary on few verses of this book. That is Mukunda Mala Stotra, prayers by Maharaj Kulashekar, where he is offering prayers to Krishna's lotus feet. And there he calls Krishna as by different names. In the first prayer he says, Shri Vallabeti Varadeti Dayapareti Bhakta Priyeti Bhavaluntana Kovideti Nateti Nagashayaneti Jagannivasti Alapinam Pratidinam Kuruma Mukunda. He is giving different names for Krishna. And one of the names he says, Shri Vallabha, you are husband of the goddess of fortune. Varadeti, you are the giver of benedictions. Nateti, you are the supreme husband. Naga Shayanit, you are sleeping on Anant Shayan. And then he says, Bhava Luntana. One very nice word he uses. Bhava Luntana means plunderer. We have heard of thieves. Krishna is being called as thief is one thing. Thief will steal something. A robber will steal a lot of things. But a plunderer, he removes everything. He doesn't leave anything. I think in school history textbooks, we must have read of one great plunderer, Nadir Shah, who attacked Delhi in 1638, around that time. And we heard about how he was a great luntana, great lutera, great plunderer. He massacred the whole city of Delhi. Almost 100,000 people died. He was just killing people, took away all wealth. He took that famous Koh-i-Noor also diamond. And he came from Persia, and it seems he plundered so much that for the next 3 years, there was no taxation in his kingdom for people. So much wealth he had. He was a plunderer in the classic sense. So Kulasekhar Maharaj is calling Krishna as Bhava Luntana. He is a plunderer who plunders away our material existence completely. We have nothing to worry. Bhava Luntana Kovideti. But Krishna is not like an ordinary plunderer. He will plunder away everything, but he will also give something in return. He will plunder away all the anarthas from the heart, but will fill the heart with something very special. And that Kulasekhar Maharaj says in the next verse. Mukunda Murdna Pranipatya Yache Bhavantame Kantamiyantam Artham Ave Smriti Stva Charanaravinde Bhave Bhave Mestu Bhavat Prasadat. He says, O Mukunda, O giver of liberation, I put my head at your lotus feet and I'm repeatedly offering this prayer. What is that? Mukunda Murdna Pranipatya Yache Bhavantame Kantamiyantam Artham. Only one desire I have. Only one desire. Nothing else I am asking. What is that? Avismriti Stva Charanaravinde. The remembrance of your lotus feet which you have filled my heart with. Let me never forget that. Let me always remember your lotus feet. Bhave bhave me stu bhavat prasadat. Life after life in this material world, I don't mind coming. But let me never forget avismriti tva charanaravinde. Let me never forget your lotus feet. Let me become completely attached to your lotus feet. And this remembrance will help us at the time of death. Nothing else will. Because nowadays, the kind of diseases that are coming up, it's so painful. Like cancer, 10 years back, very few cases of cancer we would hear. But nowadays, it's so common. Every week we are hearing about somebody we know getting cancer. And AIDS, HIV, we might avoid. But cancer we cannot avoid. Because the lifestyle is so artificial. So much carcinogenic properties are there in so many things that we are eating, we are drinking. So it is such a painful situation. And it is said that in America alone, every day 10,000 people are diagnosed with cancer. And Bhaktivedanta Maharaj was saying that 1 out of 3 persons is going to get cancer. Such a deadly disease, which is so unforgiving and cruel. It's one of the most cruel elements of material nature. It leaves us completely paralyzed. So given this pain, given this suffering that is due to most of us in this material world, only remembrance of Krishna can save, according to the scriptures. And while commenting on this verse of Maharaj Kulasekhar, Prabhupada writes that the most condemned existence is when we forget Krishna. And then he compares this forgetfulness of Krishna with animal life. Animal life means eating, sleeping, mating differently. That's all. Therefore, one has to consciously endeavor to remember Krishna. And most of the devotees, we'll see, senior devotees, they give this technique. Of course, this is beyond my level of realization. But Devamrita Maharaj was saying a beautiful point when he was here. He was saying, you all are affected by lust. Lust is troubling us. Simple. Just close your eyes, raise your hands, and loudly shout without moving your lips. He said, without moving your lips. You shout out, scream out, let your lungs tear apart. You shout out the name of Lord Nityananda. He says, you shout out Nitai. So if you do that, you will feel immediate relief from the agitating desire of sense gratification. And then he said, I've tried it and it has worked. In his all humility, he was saying that. So most of the devotees, they give this solution that we should take shelter of Krishna. And Kulasekhar Maharaj, in the next prayer, he goes further. And he says many things that he doesn't want from Krishna. Nayam vande tava charanayor dvandam advandameto kumbi pakam gurumapi hare narakam napanetum ramya rama mrudu tanulata nandane napirantum bhave bhave hridaya bhavane
Bhavayeham Bhavantam.
Krishna, I am worshipping your lotus feet. I am remembering your lotus feet. Not because I want to get out of this duality of material existence. Dvandam Advandam Heto. That is not my desire. I am also not praying because Kumbhi Pakam Gurum Api Hariya. It's not that I want to be free from Kumbhi Paka hell, where our Yamdutas take sinful people. It's not that I want to be free from that hell. Narakam Napanetam. That's not my desire. Ramya Rama Mrudu Tanulata. I'm not desiring to enjoy soft-skinned, beautiful women. That's not the reason why I'm praying to you. Nandane Napirantum. I don't want to enjoy the Nandankanan gardens. My only desire is Bhave Bhave Hridaya Bhavayam Bhavantam. Let me constantly remember your lotus feet and take shelter of this. And in that purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, simply remembrance is not possible. You can't say that, okay, now I'm going to sit and remember Krishna. Let me sit and remember Krishna. It's not possible in the long run. Prabhupada says, remembrance of Krishna is possible only when we have a life centered around practical service. He says, our motto for students in ISKCON, Prabhupada says, our motto is remembrance of Krishna and uninterrupted service, devotional service to Krishna. For this brings us to the third part of our presentation today, that is, how to practically apply the solution of remembering Krishna. For that, Prabhupada says is through service. Service to whom and how to render service? His Holiness Niranjan Swami Maharaj once gave a class on how to remember Krishna. And one devotee said, Maharaj, we are always obsessed with the self, always thinking of ourselves only, whole day. So how can we remember Krishna? Because our problem is, we are, for us, in material condition life, only three words are important. I, me and mine. That is material life. So how can we now remember Krishna, suddenly change our life? So Maharaj said, two things we have to do. He said, first is we have to develop affection and love for devotees. If you do that, we get attached to devotees, then we get this attachment to Krishna. And second, he said, work under an authority. Let there be a devotee who can pull your ears, who can correct you. So if you have these two kind of methods, working under an authority and developing affection for devotees, then remembrance of Krishna is possible. So basically, service to devotees. Devotees should be the center of our life to begin with, because it's tangible, we might experience reciprocation with devotees, and that will lead us to remembrance of Krishna. It's a very practical solution. Shaunaka Rishi, when he's telling Suta Goswami, don't stop Krishna Katha, please speak Krishna Katha. In that time, he says one very beautiful verse. Jivan Shavo Bhagavatangri Renum Najatu Martyo Bilabetayastu Sri Vishnu Padya Manujastulasya Shwasan Shavo Yastu Naveda Gandam. He says, Jivan Shavo. We are living, but we are dead bodies. Why? Because Jivan Shavo Bhagavatangri Renum, we are not taken the dust of the lotus feet of devotees. That's why although we are living, we are dead. Na jatu martyo bilabeta yastu. And then the last line he says, Shwasan shavo yastu na veda gandam. One who has not taken the smell, the aroma of the tulsi leaf from the lotus feet of the Lord, or one who has not developed attachment to devotees, he is Shwasan shavo. Shwasan means somebody who is breathing. And shava means dead body. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a purport to this saying, a person who doesn't have a service attitude towards devotees, he is Shwasan Shavo, he is a breathing dead body. What is a breathing dead body? Breathing dead body is basically, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, a ghost. And ghosts are only disturbing elements in the society. So therefore, if we are not having attachment to devotees, then we become like ghosts. And Prabhupada writes there in the purport that we should know the philosophy is, love my dog, love me, love my dog. If you want to love the master, you cannot but love the dog of that master also. Similarly, if you have to love Krishna, we have to love Krishna's servants who are very dear to Krishna. And also there Prabhupada emphatically declares that this is the first condition of devotional service. And the first condition is we have to be servants of devotees who are also servant of other devotees. This is what Prabhupada writes. Those who are serving other devotees, we should be their servant. And therefore the first prerequisite for a Vaishnava is to be a servant. When one devotee, Mahavir Prabhu, he was a temple president and he was very ruthless. He was a task maker. He was just getting things done and he was a little insensitive to devotees. So when Prabhupada came to know, Prabhupada made this famous statement, very instructive. Prabhupada told him, first be a servant, then be a manager. So Prabhupada's instruction was that a devotee should be a servant first and then he can be a manager. Because manager, we need management, otherwise ISKCON cannot run. But the mood should be that one should be a servant. Because only when we serve devotees, devotees give us Krishna. Prabhupada was at the opening of Punjab National Bank in Vrindavan. They were opening a small branch. And Prabhupada spoke the story of banker from Bhagavatam, Kuvera, who was willing to offer all wealth to Dhruva Maharaj. And Dhruva Maharaj said, I don't need your wealth. Simply give me remembrance of Krishna and association of devotees. So Prabhupada said, so you are also bankers like Kuvera, you are Kuvera representatives. So please bless me. This humility of Prabhupada touched the hearts of all the people there. Prabhupada was telling them, you please bless me that I also always remember Krishna and serve devotees. So this is the mood of a devotee. He always wants to be servant. And we have Jada Bharat while instructing Maharaj Rahuguna also. He says, Rahuguneta tapasanayati. But tapasya you cannot get Krishna. Nache jaya nirvapanat grihadva. You do not get Krishna by the Vedic worshipping process. Nirvapanat grihadva. You don't get Krishna by taking sannyas. You don't get Krishna by becoming a grihastha. Na chandasa neva jalagni surir. You do not get Krishna by standing in the hot sun with fire all around you and doing tapasya. You do not get Krishna by standing under neck deep water in the Himalayas during the winter season. How do you get? Vina mahat padarajobhishekam. Only by bathing with the dust of the lotus feet of devotees, we can get mercy of Krishna. So this is the verdict of the Vedic scriptures that one has to take shelter of Vaishnavas who are serving other devotees. And this potency of Srila Prabhupada and his representatives can be felt even today in our lives, in our day-to-day lives. Indradumna Maharaj was writing in his diary that at one particular Woodstock festival, he was standing in Rathyatra. They have three Rathyatras, huge Rathyatra festival in Poland. And of all places, such a place there, they were having Rathyatra. And one man was simply standing and shaking his head in disbelief. I don't believe this. He was repeatedly saying this. So Indradumna Maharaj saw him and went up to him and said, something is wrong? He said, no, I can't believe this is Rathyatra. So Maharaj said, you know Rathyatra? Yes. How do you know Rathyatra? Then this man said, 10 years back, I was working in a coal mine. Every day there would be blasts in the coal mine. People would be dying. And I was praying to God, God, help me, help me. And when I came home that day, one friend of mine gifted me a huge set of 9 books, Chaitanya Charitamrita. And I read those books. I didn't like it initially, but I kept reading. And I became obsessed with that book. And that Bhaktivedanta Swami, what commentary he writes. And I started liking Lord Chaitanya very much. And my favorite section in the Chaitanya Charitamrita was Rathyatra. And I heard so much about Rathyatra and I was thinking, when can I ever become a part of Rathyatra? But I realized that I was not born in that time, 500 years ago. So unfortunate. But then I read Bhaktivedanta Swami's commentary. He writes that now also we have International Society for Krishna Consciousness where we have Rathyatras like this and where we chant Hare Krishna. But then I couldn't contact devotees and I was very sad. I thought I'm not destined to be associated with devotees. But now I'm seeing Rathyatra. I thought this is some imagination, but then I heard Hare Krishna being chanted. Then I realized that this is Lord Chaitanya's movement. Lord Chaitanya's movement is still alive. And he started crying incessantly. And he told Indradumna Maharaj, please, I hope you understand me. I'm a little emotional. Please forgive me. Indradumna Maharaj embraced him and said, no, we understand you completely. You're getting special mercy of Lord Chaitanya. and assured him that yes, Lord Chaitanya's movement is still alive, still vibrant, because of the presence of a devotee like Srila Prabhupada, who is mercifully giving this gift to everyone. Therefore, to conclude today's class, today we discussed mainly the problem, and that is blind rush for sense gratification, where Jai Shri Shraddha Gopinath Nithai Gaur Chandra Shri Gopalji Lalita Devi Vishakha Devi Ki Jai, where the emphasis is on sense gratification, where modern hedonistic lifestyle champions the pursuit of illicit sex. And the solution, Srila Prabhupada recommends, is chanting the holy names and remembering Krishna. And in today's purport, specifically remembrance of Krishna of lotus feet is explained, where which we discussed is the shelter for all of us. And how to practically remember Krishna's lotus feet, Prabhupada says, by developing affection for devotees and serving devotees. When Srila Prabhupada was asked by one big black mustached man in 22nd Avenue, "Are you Allen Ginsberg's guru?" Now, Allen Ginsberg, we should know, was a personality in the 1960s who was very famous in America. He was the most well-known poet and singer and champion of LSD drugs. And the news had spread that Allen Ginsberg is coming and hearing Prabhupada's kirtan and has become friends with Prabhupada. So when this question was asked with big audience present, "Are you Allen Ginsberg's guru?" it was a loaded question. If Prabhupada had said, "Yes, I am Allen Ginsberg's guru," then that means Prabhupada also advocates LSD drugs. People would have thought like that, because that's what Allen Ginsberg was promoting. If Prabhupada said, "No, I'm not Allen Ginsberg's guru," then you would be offending Allen Ginsberg, who is now coming to the program. But Prabhupada, in natural humility, immediately replied, "I am not Allen Ginsberg's guru. I am not anybody's guru. I am everybody's servant." And devotees had a loud Hari Bol and they cheered Prabhupada. And also when that ISKCON big controversy was going on in 1976, the Grahastha versus Sannyas issue was going on, and this issue kept coming up in the GBC meetings and problems were going on. That time Prabhupada said this famous statement that our real problem is that we are forgetting that we are servants of Krishna, and our only aspiration and goal should be to be servant of the six Goswamis. If we have a life based on this principle, then our life is successful. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Anybody has any questions or comments? Krantra Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapuran Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.